it's not just about, you know, digitizing more information. There's plenty of information that's already digital. I think we're at the stage right now where the important thing is to meaningfully tie these systems together. You know, George Halverson at Kaiser Permanente has been very outspoken and pretty vocal about the fact that if a system is something where you can measure and improve processes, then we basically have a non-system of healthcare. And I think what's critical to understand about this is that, you know, we have the data, but we haven't pulled it all together in such a way where we're actually improving processes and focusing on better outcomes for patients. So I think that's where the real efficiencies and the real transformational power of digital medicine lies.
Now, Microsoft has deployed its Health Vault, and there are other similar programs available from other publishers of software. But we need to make a distinction, I think, and you can confirm this, between these kinds of personal health records and the official medical health record that would travel from place to place, that would be the one that doctors and hospitals use, that would not necessarily be modifiable directly by the individual because it involves prescriptions and things like that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's a confusion of terminology. Some people use the term EHR to refer to the whole thing. In my case, I tend to split between EMRs for, you know, clinical settings and PHRs, personal health records, or, you know, for individuals. In the end, they all tie together, though, I think, in one grand strategy, because ultimately, I think the curious thing that's been missing from a lot of digital medicine thus far has been that link to the patient. In the end, we're all responsible for maintaining our own health, for coordinating our own health care, and we don't really have the information or the support to do that, and that's where tools like Health Vault come into play.
So when you talk about saving money, I mean, the upfront cost for putting into a doctor's office a record-keeping system, or getting someone involved online with even their own personal health record, I mean, there are costs associated with that. One assumes you would have to join a program or a system in order to make that happen. How long before the upfront costs are then become savings for the individual or for the doctor?
Well, for the doctor, it can vary. For the individual with something like Health Vault, there are no costs, direct costs associated with it. Health Vault is free, and you know, as you say, we're not, you know, it's not the only option out there. There are many free options for hosting your health information. But you're right. Ultimately, it comes down to what is the payoff. Where are we going to start to see the cost savings? I think when it comes to people maintaining their own health information, sort of the immediate areas of cost savings come in things like their own ability to reconcile and make sure that their medications list, something as simple and basic as a medications list, is accurate. It's probably the number one immediate issue that physicians and patients alike both recognize as sort of a symptomatic mess of the health information landscape, but I think the real transformational aspect is when patients are better involved with their healthcare, when they have better tools for managing, particularly the chronic conditions that seem to account for most of our healthcare spend. When patients can manage their diabetes more easily because the devices they use to track their blood sugar, their exercise, their weight. All of that information winds up in a place where it's easily visualized and is available to be consumed by tools that help them manage their condition, like Mayo Clinic Health Manager, for example, which is a Health Vault compatible solution. Then all of a sudden you get far better decisions about how you live your life and long-term savings because of these sort of lifestyle transformations.
But the savings in health care as a national priority is going to come from the clinical setting record, because hey, I could have my own Health Vault record, and I could say, hey, I really would like some OxyContin on there, and I can put that on myself. But clinically, I have no right to do that, and of course, you know, I could use it for the wrong reason. So the clinical setting, which is the secure one that might be accessed by health settings, would be the one that where the savings would take place in the long run. And so my question is, to make an analogy as we did earlier with the PC, when the PC started to become ubiquitous, maybe 1983 or 4 after DOS, frankly, made them ubiquitous, and IBM. People predicted all kinds of productivity increases, but it was really 20 years or so before labor statistics, macro statistics, showed that there was white-collar productivity increasing because of office productivity tools. Do you think that with the clinical health setting, by the time it has to be promulgated and adopted throughout the industry, is that going to be a 20-year process till we really see these gains?
You know, you're right in the sense that, technology waves tend to happen quite similarly. You get, initial automation and digitization, then the networking of these systems together, and then finally you get sort of systemic improvements because all of a sudden you have system-wide networks of information that can be acted upon. I think it's helpful to remember that we're not really at the early days of the digitization of medicine. Some systems out there, some healthcare providers out there have been, using health IT in one form or another for 2-3 decades now. So there's a good chunk of where our healthcare comes from that's already digital. I mean, it's certainly the way the payment system works right now. Even paper doctors' offices can fax the records into a billing service that ultimately, transfers this information to payers digitally. So I don't know that we've got quite as long a horizon before we start seeing some of the payoffs. What I think just to bring it back to Microsoft's vision for healthcare, I think the key ingredient, and actually maybe just to push back a tiny bit on the idea that it'll be the investments in systems in the clinical setting where the payoff really comes. You know, healthcare costs emanate from the health of individuals. If you're not managing chronic conditions properly, they wind up, rather than being something manageable and you wind up with avoidable acute episodes. Kidney failure, heart failure, and these are much, much more expensive to care for than simply making sure that somebody's managing their blood sugar or managing their hypertension. It's tying these systems together so that so that patients are better empowered and better engaged, so that information flows well between patient and their caregivers, broadly defined, whether it's clinicians, registered nurses, dietitians, coaches and trainers, or their family members. It's ensuring the movement and liquidity of this information across all of these caregiving settings. That's where we're really going to change the situation right now. If all we do is kind of invest in digitizing the way medicine is currently delivered, which is, you see a physician maybe once, twice a year, and the other 363 days you're kind of on your own, and they don't know anything about what's happening in that intervening time, and you're not benefiting from any sort of guidance from them, then it'll be much, much slower to recoup these investments.
We're talking to George Scriven. He's Senior Global Strategist for Microsoft's Consumer Health Platform. But pardon me for saying this, but it sounds like doctor as nanny. Make sure you take your pills. Make sure you go out there and exercise. Make sure you, that's the patient's job, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's kind of the point we're trying to make. There are different, people have different tolerances and levels and capabilities for the kind of assistance that they're looking for. I would imagine that in a lot of cases, most of us are going to be pretty happy with the idea that you can go to a doctor or go to, have an inpatient procedure at a hospital. When you leave, you'll get a copy of what happened in your records, in your personal health vault account. And that might form the basis for you managing, say, for example, your diabetes or hypertension on your own at home yourself, with the guidance of some information from, automated information from a health vault application like Mayo Clinic Health Manager or Heart 360 from the American Heart Association. But there are always going to be those patients who are, less able to manage by themselves for whatever reasons, and now physicians can focus on assisting those patients, right? So the Cleveland Clinic, for example, is helping patients with remote monitoring. They're using devices like blood pressure cuffs or heart rate monitors or blood glucose meters or scales that are all Health Vault compatible, uploading that information into Health Vault, and that information is being monitored by clinicians at the Cleveland Clinic. And that allows them to sort of look at a whole panel of patients and just focus on the ones who actually need help, as opposed to the people who are doing fine on their own because they found ways to manage their hypertension or their diabetes.
I can see a new peripheral coming, something that takes your blood sample and is plugged into your USB port, and off it goes.
Well, that's not even...
Virtual doctor. Hey, doc, how you doing? In there? Well, it's not that far away from what you're talking about. I mean, if you're monitoring people that really aren't, you know, maybe they're not using the drugs that that are given to them or for whatever, for a wide variety of reasons, plenty of reasons why people don't, you know, use the drugs that are prescribed to them, then I guess you can, you know, be more proactive with individuals and get them back on track.
There are a lot of good reasons people wind up not taking the drugs prescribed to them. Maybe they're not effective. I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, this is why I tend to want to make sure that people understand that this is, you know, we want to put the patient at the center of transforming healthcare because it's nobody knows better whether or not a therapy is effective, whether or not they're actually feeling better, whether or not they're doing the job, than the patient themselves. And that's kind of the key missing link. I mean, physicians will complain, whether it's family doctors or people in, you know, specialists in hospitals. They'll complain that one of the problems they have is they have so little data about their patients. You know, they know what they know about their patients from their previous encounter or from, you know, whatever the record at their particular institution tells them. But a patient has a much more complex and richer life than that. And you're trying to manage healthcare in the context of the whole patient, of the patient's whole life, but you've got this very small view into what's actually happening, which is why you spend so much time, you know, talking about things like, you know, your family history and what medications you're taking and others, because they're just trying to collect the information that could be presented to them automatically.